The Corn Growers Association CEO Craig Floss says they had already begun talking about making a change during the weekend following Friday's unveiling of the new trophy.
We were clearly monitoring our Twitter accounts, our Facebook accounts. We were listening to what average Iowans were telling our board of directors that are out there in the countryside, and it was overwhelming. And so, you know, as was mentioned earlier, the first trophy missed the mark. I think there's a tremendous amount of value in what we tried to do for the Cy-Hawk series, thinking deeper about how something other than just a football symbol could work. But at the end of the day, we really did listen to the fans.
Ross says the only downside to the feedback was the comments that were over the top. He says the corn growers drew the fire because people mistakenly thought his organization sought to redesign the trophy as part of their agreement to become the new sponsor of the series. He says the decision to rethink the trophy came from those who had heartfelt comments.
We all embrace freedom of speech and the ability to put your opinion out there. Honestly, though, the things that I listened to the most were not those who ranted and raved and were crude and et cetera. It was those folks who said, you know, I'm somebody who doesn't normally comment on this, and I'm not particularly fond of what you're doing. Would you please reconsider? Those things meant something to me because I realized that it wasn't just somebody who was spouting off.
Well, the plan is to allow fans to help design a new trophy for the football game, and an interim trophy will be used for this year's game on September 10th. In other college football news, authorities say LSU starting quarterback Jordan Jefferson and three teammates cooperated with investigators looking into a bar fight that injured four people. Baton Rouge Police Chief Dwayne White says the players offered the names of more witnesses whom investigators will want to speak with. White also says that while police have video from the scene, it does not show the fight itself. There have been no arrests and no charges have been filed, but White says police hope to gather enough evidence to arrest whomever is responsible for the victim's injuries. White says police still need to find more objective witnesses. University of Richmond on Tuesday accepted the resignation of head coach Latrell Scott after he was arrested for driving while intoxicated. The move came less than 2 weeks before the start of the Spiders' season. Offensive coordinator Wayne Lineberg will serve as interim head coach for the season. The Spiders open at Duke a week from Saturday. A cab driver has been charged with manslaughter for allegedly providing the drugs that resulted in the death of Alabama offensive lineman Aaron Douglas. Fernandina Beach police say that Rodney Young Odom was arrested late Monday and charged with manslaughter and the sale and delivery of a controlled substance. An autopsy report found Douglas died May 12th as a result of multiple drugs found in his system. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs and the St. Louis Rams will use Friday night's preseason game at Arrowhead Stadium to benefit the tornado recovery efforts in Joplin, Missouri. The city was devastated by a tornado on May 22nd that killed more than 150 people and caused an estimated $2 billion in damage. Joplin is only now finishing debris removal and turning its attention to rebuilding its infrastructure. The Rams and the Chiefs both visited the town to assist in the recovery effort this summer. They plan to organize rescue teams and volunteers on Friday night, and they also plan to collect donations from the fans. About 500 volunteers and residents of Joplin will attend the game, and the coaching staffs will wear special shirts and hats to raise awareness of that recovery effort. Tennessee running back Chris Johnson says he's flying to Nashville to meet with the Titans' general manager, a move that might bring both sides closer to getting a deal done and end his holdout. Johnson tweeted Tuesday that he and his agent, Joel Siegel, will meet with general manager Mike Reinfeldt this morning. The three-time Pro Bowler has refused to report to camp despite having 2 years left on his original contract. The Titans have said they'll make him the highest-paid running back in NFL history, but they want him to report first before accelerating talks. Eagles defensive tackle Mike Patterson will play Thursday night against Cleveland just weeks after he collapsed and suffered a seizure at practice. Patterson was diagnosed with a brain malformation, a prenatal condition which the blood travels abnormally between the arteries and the veins. His condition will eventually have to be treated, but the method hasn't been determined. The Pittsburgh Steelers and linebacker Lawrence Timmons have agreed to a new 6-year contract. That deal will pay $50 million through 2016. Timmons is the second linebacker to sign an extension with the Steelers in the last month. Teammate Lamar Woodley agreed to a 6-year, $61.5 million contract on August 5th. Fred Jackson's been assured that he is, in fact, the Buffalo Bills' starting running back. The Bills' two-time leading rusher was in a more upbeat mood after a talk with offensive coordinator running backs coach Curtis Modkins. Monday, the Bills' two-time leading rusher expressed frustration that he didn't get the start or a bulk of the work in Saturday's exhibition game with Denver. Veteran running back and former Kansas City Chiefs star Larry Johnson has signed with the Miami Dolphins after sitting out most of last season. The 31-year-old Johnson is expected to add some depth behind Reggie Bush and rookie Daniel Thomas. Cincinnati Bengals have acquired safety Taylor Mays from the San Francisco 49ers in a trade for an undisclosed draft pick. Mays was the Niners' second-round pick last year when he started six games. He played sparingly in the preseason for San Francisco. In Major League Baseball, Sean Burroughs found his long-lost home run swing to back the pitching of Ian Kennedy in Arizona's 2-0 win over Washington as Burroughs hit a two-run homer off Nats starter Jordan Zimmermann in the seventh inning. It was his first homer since 2005. That victory snapped the Diamondbacks' six-game losing streak. Kennedy notched the eighth win in his last nine starts, and he has a National League-leading 16 wins for the season. Clayton Kershaw also chalked up his 16th win as the Dodgers routed St. Louis 13-2. Kershaw struck out eight in six scoreless innings. Rod Barajas hit a pair of homers, giving him four in five games, and he drove in four runs. Matt Kemp also had a three-run jack for L.A. Elsewhere in the National League, Alberto Gonzalez singled in the go-ahead run in the top of the ninth to give San Diego a 7-5 win over the Giants as San Francisco falls a game back of Arizona in the West. John Mayberry Jr. and Shane Victorino each homered and drove in three to spark Philadelphia to a 9-4 win over the Mets. Jason Hayward hit his first career grand slam, leading Atlanta to a 5-4 win over Chicago. Casey McGee had a two-run homer to cap a 7-run Milwaukee second inning and an 11-4 win over Pittsburgh. The Central leading Brewers are 10 games ahead of the Cards. Yonder Alonso had the tie-breaking double in the ninth to lead Cincinnati over Florida 8-6 and Colorado an 8-6 winner over Houston. In the American League, Brandon Allen had a pair of tape measure homers to lead Oakland to a 6-5 win over the Yankees. Also, Adrian Gonzalez homered twice to pace Boston to an 11-4 win over Texas. The Red Sox now are within percentage points of the Yankees in the East. Elsewhere in the AL, it was the White Sox, or the Angels, rather, a 5-4 win over the White Sox. Also, the Cleveland Indians, a 7-5 winner over Seattle. In the first game of a doubleheader, Seattle took the second game 12-7. Johnny Peralta's sack fly in the seventh drove in the go-ahead run as Detroit grabbed a 2-1 win over Tampa Bay. Eric Hosmer and Billy Butler homered to help Kansas City beat Toronto 6-4. And also, it was Baltimore 8-1 over Minnesota yesterday. In other baseball news, a rain delay in the Dome. That was the oddity at Tropicana Field, where the start of the Tampa Bay-Detroit game was held up by weather-related problems with the lights. The 20-minute delay came when thunderstorms in the area affected a power line running into the ballpark, and that caused the lights to go out. The start of the Washington Nationals' home game against Arizona was delayed for about 20 minutes because of the earthquake that rattled the East Coast. The holdup was to allow team officials to check the stadium for damage from the magnitude 5.8 quake, which was centered 40 miles northwest of Richmond, Virginia. The quake was felt during a baseball game in Cleveland and a tennis match in New Haven, Connecticut. At Progressive Field in Cleveland, shockwaves made the press box shake during the first game of a day-night doubleheader between the Indians and Seattle. Some fans took off for the exits as fans sitting in the upper deck noticed the unusual movement. The game wasn't interrupted, though. Play was stopped and the venue evacuated, though, at the New Haven Open, a tune-up event for next week's U.S. Open. The stadium was evacuated during the third game of a match between Yelena Yankovic and Elena Vesneva. The stadium began shaking and water bottles sloshed back and forth as spectators felt three waves of shaking and the umpire briefly halted play. In Pacific Coast League baseball yesterday, the Iowa Cubs shook up Oklahoma City 14-7, while Omaha picked up a 5-2 win over Nashville. In racing news, NASCAR points leader Kyle Busch lost his driver's license for 45 days on Tuesday in a case stemming from his high-speed joyride in a luxury car. The Sprint Cup star pleaded guilty to speeding and no contest to reckless and careless driving in North Carolina District Court. Busch, who doesn't need a license to compete in NASCAR, also was fined $1,000, sentenced to 30 hours of community service, and put on a year of unsupervised probation. NASCAR has fined Patrick Carpentier, crew chief Larry Baxter, $5,000 for pulling Steve Wallace's hair after the race at Montreal. Baxter reached into Wallace's car and pulled the driver's hair as Wallace drove down pit road following the Nationwide Series race on Saturday. Baxter apologized on Monday for the incident. He said he called Wallace and also apologized to him. And Tennessee women's basketball coach Pat Summitt has been diagnosed with early-onset dementia, which could lead to Alzheimer's. In a statement released by the university, the Hall of Fame coach said she plans to coach the Lady Vols during the 2011-12 season, but may have some limitations. Summitt went into the Mayo Clinic in May after experiencing memory loss that she first thought was due to a medication she was taking for rheumatoid arthritis. The 59-year-old Summitt told the Knoxville News Sentinel that she plans to rely on medication and mental exercises to manage the dementia. Summit has coached 37 seasons at Tennessee with 1,071 career victories and 8 national championships. That's Jack of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.